This morning's scripture comes from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands holds the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen and garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here, and we do have visitors, and which is a pretty good indication that why the scripture was read that was read for us this morning. We're here. Certainly, we want to express our appreciation to our mothers, and we are thankful that you have honored them by bringing them the services here this morning as well. You know, one thing I've been doing here in the last several months is going through about 35 years of sermons that I have boxed up down the basement. And I came across a week or two ago the very first Mother's Day sermon I ever preached. I was 24 years old, and so at that point I was quite an authority. I was embarrassed when I read it. I really blistered them. Basically, I think I left the impression on them that if you would just be the mother that God wants you to be, you'll raise perfect kids and never have any problems at all. Well, I can just imagine what people must have thought when they were filing out of church that morning, seeing me there with holding our daughter and had my son standing beside me holding onto my pants leg. And I'm sure that there was some mature Christian mother there who was telling her husband, "Harold, the boy doesn't know what he's talking about. We should tell him." And her husband probably said, "Well, don't burst his bubble. Let him find out the way everybody else does, the hard way." Then I found another lesson that I had presented, and it was about 20, 25 years later when our children were grown. And so at that point, at least, I had a little bit of experience. And that sermon was entitled "The Privileges and Joys of Motherhood." I tried to speak firsthand about being a mother, what being a mother should mean to you. Unfortunately, I had one problem, and that is I've never been a mother. And at that point, it was probably my wife who was saying, "You don't know what you're talking about." Well, I've learned my lesson, I think. So this morning, I'm not going to preach to any of the women in our assembly about the kind of mother you should be, although I'm not afraid to do that. because the scriptures speak very clearly about many aspects of motherhood. And even in the areas where the Bible has not expressly spoken, I have some very strong opinions that I would be more than willing to share with you at this time. But this morning, I want to speak of motherhood in a way that no one can leave the assembly saying that fellow doesn't know what he's talking about. Because this morning I'm going to talk about what having a Christian mother meant to me. Napoleon, known as a world conqueror, is reported to have originated the expression, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." Abraham Lincoln, known as a self-made man, is quoted as having said, "All that I am or can be, I owe to my mother." So did these men overstate the importance of a mother's contribution in the life of her child? I think not. And when I stop to think about it, which I don't do nearly enough, I can honestly say that that my mother was the single most influential person in my life. I was so blessed not only because I had a good mother, but more importantly, blessed because I had a Christian mother, and that makes all the difference in the world. Would I even be here this morning speaking to you in this capacity had it not been for her influence? Well, I really can't say. I remember having heard an older preacher say, made a statement one time, and at first I questioned it, but I really can't refute it. He said, "I've known a lot of boys who have overcome growing up with an evil worldly father and have gone on to be fine Christian men, but I've never known of a boy who overcame growing up with an evil worldly mother." Now, I'm sure there are exceptions, and you may know some, but it does make you stop and think the influence of a mother on her children is that great. Several years ago, there was a little article that was making its rounds in church bulletins. You probably remember it. It said, "All that I really needed to know, I learned in kindergarten." Well, it talks about some of the basic values and attitudes and habits that we try to instill upon small children that will serve them throughout their lives. Well, I think I could go a step further and say that all I really needed to know in life, I learned from my mother. In fact, I've entitled my lesson this morning, "Things My Mother Taught Us." I certainly don't want to be overly sentimental or nostalgic, but rather to make each of us more aware of this God-given relationship, because all of us are affected by it in some ways. It's important that we appreciate motherhood and everything that God meant for it to be. And so I hope you'll bear with me if I reminisce a little bit too much. I'm not trying to be nostalgic or anything like that, but it is something that I stop to think about from time to time. A fella handed me a list that he had made, and he was an older fella, and I found it stuck in my box of stuff. This was several years ago, and he wrote this little thing and implied that I should use it in a sermon, and so I did. And he entitled it, "Things My Mother Taught Me." And it's meant to be humorous, so don't take it too seriously. He said, "My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that stain will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into next week. My mother taught me about anticipation." Now, we've probably all heard this one. "Just wait until your father gets home." "My mother taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why." We've all heard that one. "Mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father." "Mother taught me about responsibility of meeting the world's hunger. Each clean your plate because there are hundreds of Chinese children that are starving." Now that has varied from time to time. I think the Chinese are doing better than they were when we were growing up. But that was the one example that was given to us. "God's justice and maybe his sense of humor. I hope one day you'll have a child who will be just like you." "Poetic justice. She sees you jumping off the porch and says to you, 'If you break your leg, don't come running to me.'" I hope you can see the humor in this. I thought it was pretty. Maybe you had to know the fellow because he was kind of a laid back older man, and he just had that little streak of orneriness in him that a lot of people had never come to understand. And then he said, she taught us about ESP. Put on a sweater. Don't you think that I know when you are cold? So again, mothers do seem to have that knowledge that they can pass along to us, even in ways that that go beyond the normal. But this morning I wanted to talk about the things that my mother taught us. First of all, my mother taught us what a mother is. You know, when people are of my generation, and we think about growing up, and we think about a typical, traditional family, when we were growing up, that basically amounted to a husband and wife. The dad normally was the breadwinner. The mother would stay home and take care of the children. Well, as has been pointed out to me not long ago, that idea of what a traditional family is something that has become somewhat of a myth because it describes only about 6% of American households, and yet that is the traditional family as we were exposed to it, many of us who are older. And that's another reason that I feel blessed is because we were raised in such a home. It wasn't that my mother couldn't do anything else. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I thought that the Proverbs 31 that was read for us this morning was about her. My mother had the business head in our family. She was always the one that did all of the negotiating. And so when we bought a house, my mother was the one who was working with the realtor. When she when we bought a car, she was the one who dealt with the car salesman. By the time my dad came along, the only thing he had to do was sign the paperwork. When my older sister graduated and I was in high school, my mother went to work outside of the home for the first time. She did fantastic. As a matter of fact, she became the manager of the business that she was working for. But when we were kids, she chose to make motherhood her full-time occupation and avocation. I have so many memories of her being a homeroom mother, being a den mother, being a little league mother. In other words, she was a taxi cab driver, and she made sure that my sister and I were involved, and a lot of times the activities that we were involved in, she also participated in the role of an adult chaperone. She was the first person that I saw in the morning. She was the one that I shared my day with when I came home from school. The one who put me to bed at night. She put a lot of work into being a mother. And, you know, I didn't think that much about it because it had always been that way. And yet, in thinking back, I think about the total dedication she had to our family. Does this carry over into the world as we know it today? And I realize that times are different today. And to a degree, they really are. Raising a family has always demanded that choices be made. There's no question that we have difficulties because of our economy, and a lot of people say, "Well, we couldn't get by if both parents were not working outside of the home." And it certainly is true that it can help. It certainly is true that we are able to have more money to purchase things for ourselves and for our children. And yet, what about these things? Think back upon your own childhood. What do you remember as being most important? As you think back and you have memories of your family, you have memories of your childhood. So what was the most important thing? What are your greatest memories? Was it the furniture that you had or the family car? Or was it the relationships? Was it the knowledge that your family was there. There was someone who was there to make you feel loved and make you feel special. Certainly, there is nothing at all that would indicate that being a mother couldn't be a full-time avocation, because the demands of being a full-time mother are great. And yet, again, there are choices to be made. And I know young families that have made that decision that that until their family is grown, their mom's going to stay with the family. And the result of that maybe takes a few years longer to get some of the things that other couples have, and yet there are so many blessings involved in that. There's nothing in the Bible that says a woman shouldn't have employment outside of the home. In Proverbs chapter 31 that we read this morning, we have an example of that. But there's also nothing that would exempt her from her responsibilities as a mother. God has expectations of mothers. In Titus chapter 2, Paul instructs that older women should admonish those who are younger to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of God not be blasphemed. We know some of the expectation that the world places on women today, but don't become so preoccupied with them that we lose sight of God's expectation. So certainly our mother, at least to me, my mother taught me what a mother was. Secondly, my mother taught us the meaning of love. You know, there is something so unique about a mother's love. One time, I was about 10 or 11 years old, and we were camping in the woods, and I severely broke my wrist. Now, something only a 10 or 11-year-old boy would do, I had my cousin with me, and we were Tarzan. We were swinging from grapevines. Well, I didn't learn until many years later that Johnny Weissmuller had a stunt double. But the truth of the matter was I really broke my wrist and broke it pretty severely. Immediately I turned to my dad. He had been an Eagle Scout. He was our scout leader. He knew all about being in the woods, and he could literally fix anything. And so he made a splint out of Life magazine. And to this day, I can close my eyes and see Jackie Kennedy on the front of my splint. Because after about an hour's drive to the hospital, I remember how impressed the doctor was at the splint that my father had made. It certainly kept him from having to do further surgery. And even though my dad had been the one who had been the hero of the day, I guess you might say, on the way to the hospital, whose lap did I want to lay my head? Well, at that point, there was something special about the quality of a mother's love. In fact, that God used it to describe himself. Through Isaiah the prophet, he said, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." Which is an unusual passage of Scripture, because God is always referred to in the masculine. And yet, when God wanted to describe to us the tenderness that he has, the love that he has for us, he uses the example of a mother. He says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you." Really, the first love that we experience in life comes from our mother. Her love is much like God's in that it is unconditional. You don't have to win your mother's favor. You don't have to be the cutest or the smartest. She loves you because you are her child. A mother's love is much like God in that it is sacrificial. She willingly surrenders her own needs to take care of yours. A good way to understand the qualities of love as taught in the Bible is by seeing them demonstrated in a Christian mother, in her love for her child. When Paul gives the description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, I think you could substitute the word mother for the word love. Mothers are long-suffering and kind. Mothers do not envy. Did you ever know of a mother who did not rejoice when something good happened to their child? And so there certainly is no envy. There's nothing that a mother wants more than to see good things happen to her children. Mothers do not seek their own. Mothers are not easily provoked. Mothers do not rejoice in our failings, but rejoice when we do good. Mothers bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. A mother's love never fails. Back during the 1980s, I was, for a couple of years, I was a part of a prison ministry. And I would go down every 2 weeks or so to Chillicothe, to the state penitentiary there in Chillicothe. And I had Bible studies there that had been arranged with me from by a prisoner that we had converted when he was coming through Caldwell, Ohio. And after he was after he went to Chillicothe, he wanted others to participate in our Bible study. So he arranged for me to be his minister of record, and then he arranged that he could line up a Bible study. And so generally about once a month, I would go down and we would have a Bible study. And it would be Visitor's Day, and I would sit there and I would pay attention to the family members that were coming in to visit in visiting hours. If one was a younger prisoner, if a younger prisoner had a visitor, more often than not, it was his mother. Why was that? Well, she is the one who was the last to give up on him. She was the last one to lose hope. Why? Because a mother shows us that's what it means to love. We don't give up on someone that we love. And so a mother's example is an example of love. Thirdly, my mother taught us that the demonstration of love is service. Again, looking at the worthy woman in Proverbs chapter 31, we see that she was a very busy woman. She has her business interests. She buys a field, plants a vineyard. She makes garments to sell. But she has interest. She also has interest in other people. She reaches out to the poor. She provides for her own servants and takes care of the poor. But there's no question where her priorities are. Her family comes first. She takes tremendous loving care for them. And in return, she gains their love and devotion. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And that's rather the spirit of what we are doing this morning, isn't it? There are so many things that we have to be appreciative of. When it comes to the care that our mother has given to us, there are so many things about if you're grown, there are so many things about your childhood that still hold a dear place in your heart. The reason that that Cindy's gone today, this is her first Mother's Day without her mother. Her mother died in April at 95, and she did really well, but I think she was kind of at a loss because Mother's Day was always very special when we had our mothers. And so my daughter said to her, it's time now for you to be the mother, We want to honor you. And so she's now with our daughter and our two granddaughters and a great-granddaughter. So I have a feeling she's getting loved on. As well she should be, because that is a tribute to her life. She gave her life to, she has given her life to being a wife and a mother. The home is where her heart is. Although it was preceded by about 1,000 years, Solomon's worthy woman demonstrated the same thing in the home that Jesus showed when he washed the disciples' feet. And that is the door to love and to happiness, the door to having lasting relationships is open through serving. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better example of one who sees their role as giving than most mothers. How many times does mother put off buying a new outfit or something for herself in order to buy something that is needed by the children? Think of the times when she stays up late or rises early to get that extra load of laundry done or to help a child finish a school project. I found out that was the way that I got good grades, was to put off my science project until about Saturday night, because I knew that I would get good direction from my mother in working on that project. Think of all the times when she stays up when the rest of the family has gone to bed, making a dish for Sunday's potluck, or whatever it may be. If something gets burnt, mother eats it. And I always felt so guilty about that. But, you know, if something didn't turn out just right, she would keep that for herself, and then she would give the rest to her family. It's a beautiful spirit, and one that we as husbands and children should learn from, not take advantage of. Just think of what a wonderful place the home would be if all fathers were just as devoted to meeting the needs of the family, if all children were just as devoted to helping out and to meeting the needs of the family. What if the same spirit was found in the church? When each Christian was looking for a way and an opportunity to serve, after Jesus served his apostles, after Jesus washed their feet, which certainly was a true exercise of putting others first. It was to humble himself and accept a role simply because it needed to be done. But Jesus said to them, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you." Well, mothers have also given us an example of loving, leading, and influencing others for good. Not by demanding her rights, but not by drawing attention to herself, but by serving. And so many mothers, most mothers, I would believe, I know that our mother did, define her role as being there to care for her family. Finally, mother taught us about God. Certainly God expects both parents to be involved in the spiritual training of their children. Paul said, "And you fathers," he was very specific when he said, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And so God has made us as fathers to be the spiritual leader in our home. But many times we are not able to be with our children in such a way and in such times as our mother is, as the mother is. Part of the way that we raise our children to be faithful Christians is by encouraging our wives and their mothers. It's only natural, because of her influence and the amount of time that she spends with her children, that mothers develop those first strains of faith within the heart of a child. In 2 Timothy, Paul speaks to Timothy about the faith of his mother and his grandmother, and he said, "Now is also in you." Well, how did that happen? Well, he mentions that from a child they had been taught the scriptures by their mother, by their grandmother. It wasn't the father. The father was not a Christian, and that is indeed an extra challenge. And yet, I've seen so many faithful Christian women who have plunged on raising their children for the Lord, even though they were not supported by the efforts of a godly Christian husband. I read a poignant article that was entitled "Who's Raising the Kids?" And it was an observation that was made by a woman who was a nanny of other babysitters with the children they were watching in Chicago's Central Park. And she spoke about how generally they appeared to be uninterested in the kids. They basically were there for them, but they were still uninvolved and unattended in many ways. So who's going to answer your child's first questions about God? You know, that's something that you, many times, that opportunity is one that just comes once, and it just comes for a limited time. And so what an opportunity that is as mothers begin to point out that God is the one who created everything. You know, when I started school, there was little danger of my being led astray by evolution or humanism or anything of that nature, because by the time I was in school, I was fully converted to the God who made the heavens and the earth. I knew all about God. I was told one time about a little boy who was in school, and the teacher was going on about evolution and how everything just happened, and he raised his hand and said, "That's the craziest thing I've ever heard." Well, it didn't make sense to him because he knew better. He knew what the answers were. He knew that it was God who made the heavens and the earth. And so by the time I started to school, I was fully converted. And so what an opportunity that is. And it's an opportunity that only we as parents can fully meet. And so I guess an honest answer of why I am a Christian today is because I'm a Christian because my mother raised me to be. And I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have nothing but pride and gratitude for my mother. And my mother now has been gone 8 years. And I would certainly give anything to be able to spend this day with her. But because of what she has taught me about our faith in Jesus, we're going to be together again someday. And I'm fully persuaded that that because of her efforts and because she passed her faith along to us, that is something that we are all going to benefit from eternally. And that training did not end in childhood. There were times when I was in high school, college, even as a young man, that my attitudes, activities, or priorities were not what they should have been. And I still have this mental picture of when I was older, several occasions coming home, and my mother was sitting in the living room with her Bible on her lap. Now, I knew that she was sitting in the living room at 12:30 with her Bible on her lap waiting for me to come home. We were probably going to have a discussion. I could argue with her, but when she had the Word of God in her hand, I knew that I was outnumbered. And she never expected anything of me that was not based upon what God expected of me. And so Mother taught us about God and taught us about His Word. Finally, Mother taught us independence. There comes a time when, for the child's sake, we have to let go. As a parent, it's difficult to know when and how that should be done. Like every other mother, my mother began, if not to cut the apron strings, at least to loosen them a little bit. And looking back, there were probably times when my mother held on a little longer than she should have, but there were also times when she gave me more credit than was due. I do remember as a teenager how desperately I longed for that independence. How I longed for my freedom. I knew that once I got my chance, I was going to do what I wanted to do. I was going to live my life the way I wanted to live it. Slowly but surely, the opportunity came. I was going to be free to come and go and be involved in things without supervision, to be on my own. But you know what I found out? I found out that she was still in control. Not because she followed me and told me everything to do and not to do, but because of what she had been teaching me all of my life, I knew that I could not let her down. She believed in me, and I had to at least try to live up to her faith and her expectations. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That may explain why I turned out right. I didn't have a choice. Because wherever I've gone and whatever I've done, my mother's instructions have followed me. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. This admonition is given. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you are awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is as a lamp and the law is as reproof. There comes a time when children must be given their independence. Wise parents give it during a time when they still have some supervision, because if we wait too long, they're going to take it anyway. Wise mothers are working themselves out of a job. Wise mothers are doing something that goes totally against their natural instincts, because the time is going to come when we're going to have to let go. We have to prepare our children to continue to live in the way that we have taught them to live when we are no longer there to be there with them. And so my mother taught me, prepared me the best that she could, and yet then when it was time to let go, she let me grow. Well, finally, mothers taught us about obligation. Mothers influence our role in, a mother's influence and role in our life doesn't end when we turn 21. The first law given by God said, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the face of the earth. The obligation to honor, to care for our mother remains as long as we have a mother. Certainly, this includes the responsibility that we have to meet her needs, whatever they might be. We have an obligation to do that because that's what she did with us. She met our needs when we were unable to meet them for ourselves. I saw a special report on the news a few years ago that stated that elderly abuse is a hidden shame among many in our nation. The number of elderly people who are not only totally neglected by their adult children, but who actually are abused by them, probably exceeds the more publicized abuse and neglect of children. Another sign of a totally selfish generation of people who say, I don't have time to be bothered. Why should I spend my money to take care of my parents? Well, Paul tells us why. He says we are obligated. We must care for our parents when they need us in order to repay them for the way they cared for us when it was needed. And it's a privilege. It is an honor. To do everything that we can to assure our parents, and this morning, especially as we speak of mothers, to assure them that they are truly loved for the role that they have played in our life. And so I thank God for having been given a wonderful Christian mother and everything that she taught me that still is the very foundation of my life. And I only hope that I can be the son that she raised me to be. And so my prayer for every mother and every father is that we can be the parent that God wants us to be. And one the most important thing that we can give our children is a Christian home. The most important thing that we can give our children is to be a Christian mother, a Christian father, and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important role that we have in raising children, is we are to lead them to Christ. And if we do that, then they will be blessed eternally, and our time on earth certainly will have been well spent. It may be that there is someone in our assembly today that has a special need, or someone who is considering their relationship with the Lord, we always extend an invitation, and we are always here to seek to encourage one another in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if there's anyone who has this need and this desire to respond, we would encourage you to do that. We're going to, at this time, stand and sing. Thank you.